Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it. Say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
At Letty Family, grab your headphones and your hot takes because the top Twitter space in the Canadian Premier League returns. Brought to you, as always, by the Capital City Supporters Group. Tonight, we're going to look back briefly on last Friday's insane 4-3 win over Hamilton Forge, and then turn our attention to this week's matchup against Pacific FC, which is this Sunday, 1 p.m. at TD Place. My name is Christian Chubak, and I'll be your host this evening, and I'm joined by my fellow CCSG member and regular co-host here on the Hot Stove, John. John, how are you feeling? Always a pleasure to be here with you. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm living the dream. It's hot as hell. It's really sweaty, but I'm just ready to talk some football. We had an incredible match last week, and we're hoping to repeat that coming up. So I'm ready. Let's go.
Hot and sweaty. So it's a good thing it's the beach day this weekend. So some quick housekeeping before we dive into it. If this is your first Hot Stove, here's a quick breakdown of how the show works. Each week, we'll have two hosts introduce and discuss some questions about this week's upcoming matches before turning to the audience for their thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Instead of calling it in, though, if you'd like to talk, we ask that you just raise your hand. Hit the Request to Talk button in order to join in on the conversation. Raising your hand lets us know that you have something to add on whatever topic we may be talking about, and in order to ensure we don't hear from everyone and we don't put folks on the spot too much.
And for 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m., for any updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Capital City SG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear, because we are now going to be posting the Hot Stoves as a podcast on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Thursday mornings, make sure to check them to listen to the recorded Hot Stove from the night before. And now before we get into the show, we have a few announcements to make.
Do you love Atleti, but you don't feel like you're as plugged in as you'd like to be? Well, I've got a solution. Become a member of CCSG today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, where we're constantly talking about the team, lineup, various rumors and moves that could be or might not be happening, and much, much more. You also get first access to all of our road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And we know if you're a student, it might be a little harder to scratch together those dollars, so you get a $5 discount, bringing it down to $15. If you are already a member, be sure to check out our members-only page on our website and the announcement channel on the Discord for the latest.
And while you are on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, Match Day in Review, which came out today, for those days that you want to relive or those that you miss, and of course the return of our weekly player ratings so that you can see how each player did on the day.
While you're still on the website, you know, even if you aren't a member, you can now purchase our general scarves. That's right, we've got brand new scarves that anyone can wear, whether they're a member or not. So be sure to pick those up on the website, along with road trip tickets. That's right, we will be heading down to York Lions Stadium on July 26th, and then August 10th, we are heading to Tim Hortons Field. There are limited spots available, so be sure to secure yours today on the website. Also, be sure to keep an eye out for ATO After the Whistle, which is our weekly podcast breaking down the game of the week for you and answering your questions as fans. This week's episode dives into the absolute thriller that was Ottawa and Forge with hosts Johnny MacArthur and Joey Cuneau, continuing to give us phenomenal breakdowns of each performance. Be sure to check that out. It was released this morning on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.
And finally, the Glebe Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. Join us there all season long for pregame, postgame, and at our watch parties. And we will there be where there will be pregame fun and always great conversations. And we will be there this Friday for the Copa America quarterfinal matchup between Canada and Venezuela. We will also be there for the rest of the Euros, Olympics, and Copa America, which includes watch parties for every Canada game. That's at Glebe Central Pub, Bank Street, Ottawa's home for football.
And one last reminder that if you'd like to talk today, please hit the Request to Speak button to join in on all of the fun and raise your hand if there's a topic that we're tackling that you'd really like to chime in on. The show is all the better every time new speakers come in, so be sure to get some bravery and join on it.
All right, let's get into it. And John, where do I even begin with last week's game? What a performance. And if you weren't there at TD Place, I feel sorry for you. That might have been Atletico Ottawa's most electrifying performance yet. In a stunning 4-3 thriller, it had everything. Wonder goals, drama, late heartbreak, and joy. It was truly a match to remember so far this season, and honestly, in the history of the CPL. But I'll pass this off to you so we can get some voices in here. John, what was your favorite moment of the match last week, and what lessons did you take from the game?
It's tough with a game with really a roller coaster of emotions. I have to give a lot of credit to Sissoko for that early goal just a couple minutes in the game, a perfect kind of chip on a bicycle. You know, it was maybe a tricycle shot, maybe not a full bicycle, but it was absolutely phenomenal, especially that early for him to get his first goal, getting to celebrate with Coach, who, per the forward press, has been having a rough week. You know, it's something that really reminds you that when we talk about the Atleti family, it's that brotherhood that this team has and this kinship that there is between them. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. So I'd say Sissoko's early goal was definitely my number one. And I'll let some others highlight a couple other moments in that match that I'm sure people took away. Really the lessons from that game, and this has been a recurring theme in my opinion, it's that this team doesn't have quit in them. They're not giving up. They're always going to push, and they're always going to fight for that result. They're also going to be prone to a bonkers decision or switching off here and there. And I can't say there's a team that doesn't have that, that doesn't have those moments of frustrating, maybe not incompetence, but inability in certain points where you're just wanting for more. You're wanting for that little bit extra. But I have to give them credit, and really the fact that we've continued to go down, but we always fight to the end. Even if we can't pull out a result, we're always fighting. That, I think, is really the story of this win, and I think it's the story of this team for the season. So I'm going to stick with that as my my moment and lesson, and I want to hear from some other folks.
I think that's a beautiful lesson to take away. So, other folks, Megan, welcome to the show. What lessons did you take from last game, and what was your favorite moment of the match?
I mean, what four lessons I took is bringing some sort of defibrillator to TD Plays, or because that match, as thrilling it was absolutely heart attack inducing. But yeah, my favorite moment of the match was, well, it's a tie between, you know, like Leroy and Torres actually scoring the match-winning goal, but also it was just the Ball Kids just getting so excited and congratulating him for scoring that goal. I mean, like, the kids didn't do anything to actually interfere with the match at all. They just got completely caught up in the celebration. So it was just this very pure moment, and the players, which, as you mentioned after the whistle, like, a lot of them actually know these players personally. So,
of course, we don't want it to get too out of hand when pitch invasions do occur. But it was a nice moment to see some of the younger Atletico Ottawa fans there at the game celebrate and get in on that happiness that we were all feeling up in the dub. But definitely a lot to take away from that. But yeah, the defibrillator in the dub. I'm sure there's definitely one at TD Place, but Atletico Atletico is a roller coaster this season, and it's definitely a lot of up and down moments. But yeah, a lot of ups. So Eddie, we'll go to you next. What was your favorite moment from the match last week, and what lessons can you take away?
I mean, favorite moment, I think obviously it has to be Liberman Torres. I mean, this guy gives up the lead with some stupid back pass and then goes down the field and grabs the winner. Like, you can't be that. That's fairy tale. And my lesson I take is that there is not a single team in this league right now that can stop us when we are trying to score a goal. You saw it against Halifax. You saw it against Forge. When we have our players playing on top of their game and going down the field, we're unstoppable, and this is exactly the super team that we expected. And the biggest question for everyone is, how sustainable is this? How long will this be kept up? And I mean, we're almost halfway through the season and we're still doing it. So I'm very happy, and keep it up. And I don't think anyone can stop us if we play like this.
I love it. I said a couple of weeks ago, Atletico Ottawa were on fraud watch after the recent run of form, but that game has definitely put the words back in my mouth a little bit. Bryce, welcome to the show. What was your favorite moment from last week, and what lessons can you take?
I think I just like the continuing change of how I feel with these home games. You know, we're in those things where they're not big leads, they're close games. Sometimes we're even down a goal. And last season, we were dreading those. We were dreading them because we never came out on top. Even a lead wasn't safe until, you know, the seventh or eighth minute. And this year, we're turning those games around in the same time period. At the end of the games, we're getting the equalizer, we're getting the win. And so that's making me feel better about our home. And I mean, that home goal sign this year says 22. We topped down at 16 the last two seasons. And this year we've been treated to 22 goals at home. And we've got, you know, more than a handful of games left. So I'm very hopeful. I'm very happy. And I like to see, I like coming out of that stadium with a different feeling this year. It's been great.
No worries. Yeah. So I think that there was definitely a lot of good things said, but I think me personally, I'm going to go and agree with my co-host John and say that my performance of the game, favorite moment, sorry, was Sissoko running over to Cargo, smiles and a big hug after the early goal. So definitely a lot to take away from that game, but I think it might be time we can move on. So I know we kind of spoke a little bit about who we like to see out on the pitch, but Amir Didic was voted as Atletico Ottawa's man of the match, but I'm sure everyone will have a different opinion because there was a lot of different ability showcased out on the field on Friday night. But was there one player that stood out to you the most? John, let's start with you first. Who was your man of the match?
You know, I think that my choice would probably be Nate Ingham. While his distribution wasn't perfect, he helped us control the ball so much in the first half and kind of wind down the clock a little bit. And really, it is his leadership that I think brought kind of elevated the game when we went down 2-1, really barking, really getting the guys fired back up after kind of a rough run. And he made some really phenomenal saves to make sure that we stayed in that match. Because while we won it 4-3, and we gifted them two goals, Nate stopped the rest of them. So for me, Nate Ingham is kind of my man of the match. But you got to give Didic his flowers. A goal and a defensive performance like that. Of course, Poku's goal was not his fault in any way. That was an unfortunate accident. But yeah, I think Didic is definitely a good choice. But for me, I got to give it to my boy, Nate.
I love it. And as a keeper, I think a lot of good performances like that go overlooked, and I'm happy that you didn't. So I guess we'll go to you next, Eddie. Who is your man of the match?
I got two shout-outs. Ollie Bassett and Antonaro. Ollie first. Obviously, this season hasn't been the best for him compared to last season, but that game against Forge, he came on as a sub early on in the game, of course, but he dominated that game. That was a glimpse of what MVP Ollie Bassett looked like. And then Antonaro, he really impressed everyone. That man took that game by the scruff of the neck after a couple poor performances and rebounded, played phenomenally. He was on set pieces a couple times and delivered some great, great crosses in. So those two boys, they're on my radar for men of the match, I'd say.
I love to see Gabby bringing the assist into Sissoko's first. We'll go to you next, Bryce. Who was your man of the match?
I really like Gabby's performance as well, but I'm going to go with Danny Morer. That guy has given us two incredible crosses for two incredible headers late in games at home to get us points. And, you know, I don't know if I need to see him in the starting lineup, but I'm definitely comfortable with that guy coming off the bench for as many minutes as he can get. I think he's great. I don't think we've seen all his skills yet. So I want to see more of them.
I suppose there's no real wrong answer to this question. Danny Salter and Ruben Del Campo did look very good. And I will kind of echo that thought later in the hot stove that Sammy Salter out wide, maybe a kind of experiment we should experiment with more. But now that we've broken down that game, I think let's look forward to our next match this season as we take on Pacific FC from Langford on Sunday at TD Place. Both teams will see each other for what will now be the fourth time this season in all competitions. And the series has been a pretty mixed bag of results so far, having won one, drawn one, and lost one this So, as well, Pacific were the team to eliminate us from the Canadian Championship. Not to bring up sore memories right now, but with an all-time record of 5-6-6 against Pacific, Ottawa will certainly have to tap into their previous performance against Forge to come away with all 3 points. John, what are you expecting from this match on Sunday?
You know, I think it's going to be another gritty defensive performance from Pacific. They came out swinging against us in the CanChamp, and they maintained a little bit of offensive form, but I think this is a game that is not their number one priority. Their number one priority, and it shouldn't be their number one priority, because they'll be playing against the Vancouver Whitecaps on Wednesday. So they need to make sure that they are fit and ready for that game. If any player has any kind of knock, I don't think we're going to see them in Ottawa this week. I think they're ready to come and grind out a result, no matter kind of the cost, because at the end of the day, this isn't their big game this week. Their big game is against Vancouver to really try to get even further in the Canadian Championship and make that ticket against an MLS side worthwhile. I do think, though, this is a team that is a little hard done by the results that they had last week against Vancouver. Of course, they had a penalty that was saved. Sean Young, left corner, seems to be the only place he puts the ball, and everybody knows it now. So if you're listening, Sean, recommend trying the right, just not against us this week. So I think that they're kind of stinging a little bit from that, to really energize them to come into this game with a little bit of kind of frustration and maybe a little grit. And one last thing I'll say about it before we open it up is Pacific have historically traveled with a smaller bench, largely due to the realities of traveling all the way from Victoria. And I think that is going to only get smaller with the injuries they've had and the challenges they have in maintaining a full roster. They've had a few emergency signings, particularly a keeper, that are of concern. So I think that it's going to be a smaller bench. It's going to be a more compact squad. And we're going to be looking at a team trying to park the bus if they can against us this week.
For sure. They definitely have a lot to look forward to in their next game against provisional rivals. Yeah, and it's definitely an interesting prospect of them going further in the CanChamp this year. Obviously would have liked to see Ottawa there, but the lower bench or the reduced bench will definitely be an interesting one because Pacific have dealt with a decent amount of injuries already this year. So a reduced bench won't be too bad, but there'll also be a couple of players looking to make an impact and maybe stake out a place in the starting lineup this year. So we'll go to you next, Eddie. What are you expecting from this match on Sunday?
I think Ottawa has to be held to higher standards this time around. I think it sucked that we got held to a 0-0 draw at home, and, you know, we got eliminated in the CanChamp. Right now, the way Pacific's playing, right now, the way Ottawa's playing, we got to get some points. And we've been doing a great job. Pacific are there for the taking. Honestly, for me, I expect, hey, let's start with 1 point. 3 points is a bonus, but in terms of a title race, we should not be dropping any points, and we should be definitely scoring some goals against Pacific.
Goals against Pacific, we were the first team to do it this year, and let's hope we continue on with that fashion. Megan, what are you expecting from this match on Sunday?
Well, I'm certainly glad that we're playing on our turf instead of theirs, because we all know how absolutely lethal it is. But I do think that this win against Forge, especially last minute, is going to actually boost the players' confidence. Because if we had lost that match, we would not be going into the Sunday's match with a clear head at all or a confident head. So winning against Forge earlier this week was absolutely crucial. So, and like Eddie said, like, I do want them to score points. I'd be okay with a draw, but I really want to win just so we can have that much more points above everybody else. So
I think so for sure. There's a little bit of sore memory coming back into the performances we've had against them this year, and a win and a goal scoring performance is definitely important. Bryce, lastly, what are you expecting from this match on Sunday?
Well, you know how I am, and I think this is the first must-win game of the... No, I think we just need to keep rolling. So we saw some areas that could use a tweak. We saw areas for a little improvement in our game last week. Sure, we scored four, but we gave up three, and two of those were pretty disastrous on defense. So we need to see that defensive line firm up a little bit. Maybe we need to see Tier Walker play a little bit more. We need to solidify some of these areas so that we play well. We got to play better than Toronto's defense as well. They look real bad right now. Anyways, but no, that's what I want them to improve. I think even though the game went well in our favor last weekend, there were areas of improvement. And if we're going to be a championship team, if we're going to continue down the stretch with some big wins, we got to shore up some of those issues now.
For sure. Some of those mistakes last week were pretty disastrous to see from our perspective, at least. But yeah, defense is definitely something that can always be improved upon. And we made a lot of good signings this year, but definitely getting the chemistry and the defensive positioning downright is important for us to continue our success. So I think we can kind of move on. But John mentioned this earlier, that Pacific are not a very fun team to play against. They're going to be coming in gritty and trying to grind out a result here in Ottawa. But I will give them a little bit of credit to their commitment to strengthening their defense, because it is hard to break down, and we'll undoubtedly have our hard work cut out for us when it comes to scoring the goals. You know, we've been unable to put more than one past them in a game this year, and definitely coming in against a team that, kind of like Ottawa a couple years ago and last year, like playing that low block that kind of frustrates the opposition and the opposition strikers. So one of the players who stood out earlier last week and was mentioned by Megan earlier, Ruben Del Campo, took his tally to six with his goal last week. He's cooled off a little bit from that standout performances he's had in the beginning of the season, but we're playing against Pacific again. He's already scored against Pacific. How would you like to see Cargo change the tactics in order to get the best out of Ruben? You know, obviously when Ruben is scoring, we're winning. So I think that if we can maximize his ability, because obviously we've seen that Ruben is the striker and the deadly striker that we need, and he gets goals, and he gets goals in important games, like the 1-0 win against Pacific earlier this year. So I guess I'll ask this to you first, John. If you were Cargo, what tweaks would you make out of tactics, out of formation, out of personnel to get the best out of Ruben?
Like just about every striker, a lot of his performance is going to depend on the service he is receiving. We work a lot through the wings, and so making sure that we have the best winger set up to feed him, I think, is going to be key, especially against a defense that's going to stick a lot in the middle. I think that we're going to see Pacific force us onto the wings and try and keep us there. So I think for Ruben, it's going to be about getting service in dangerous positions and having him outmaneuver the defenders to get his head on the ball, to get a foot in. And really put it on target. And for me, that means that we might need to think about how Danny Marrera can start. You know, I think that moving Antinoro to the left side, we're not sure on Tabla's condition at this point. We don't know if he'll be playing or not. So I think it's a good time to give him a break if, you know, it's a knock that he needs some rest for. And that'll mean that we do need someone on that left side. We do need you 21 minutes, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And Antinoro has fit in on that left side before and can again. So having Antinoro on the left with Debrienne, Morer with Twardek on the right, and them kind of building off each other to send good service, I think is really the key to unlocking Ruben's potential. And I wouldn't hate playing with two strikers if Sammy Salter is up for it. You know, it's definitely an option, and I think we're going to need bodies in the middle of the field that can really contribute to break down that low block.
Yeah, you know, the two striker formation isn't really something that we've tried against Pacific last time. I think it was not so much little and large, it was little and little when we had Ollie and Ruben up front last time we played Pacific. So definitely a good capable strike partner for him is interesting, because Ruben is great at receiving service as well, because when he gets a long ball and he touches it down so beautifully, you know, you're not worried about where the ball is going to go. He's able to get that good first touch and take it down well and look for either the pass or the dribble. So It obviously depends. I mean, you mentioned Ingham, his distribution, and both keepers, both him and Yesley, provide good options distributing it from the back. And it's definitely going to be a case of getting it into him more so than getting it into Salter, who this season hasn't shown much of being able to play with the ball at his feet as compared to Ruben is. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot to make out of as well. Antenora on the left, Morera maybe starting, you know, maybe a couple more Spaniards, get that language fully up to the false team speak in Spanish, you know, confuse the opposition. But yeah, there's definitely a lot to say from that. Eddie, we'll go to you next. How would you like to see us get the best out of Ruben?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I want to see what Salter and Ruben together can cook. I mean, Pacific on the road, I'll be surprised if they play like how they played in the Canadian Championship, which was coming out the gates at us. I have my doubts, especially with their upcoming Canadian Championship clash. They're going to be thinking about that. So if we're going to have a lot of possession, I say, you know, let's start being a little creative. Let's throw in Salter and Ruben and see whether that works. And if not, you know, you yank Salter, you put in Morera or someone, and you can easily pivot. But I think that Del Campo is getting a lot of attention now because of how good he is. So hopefully if you throw in Salter, it can take away some of that attention away from Del Campo. And who knows, maybe that gets Salter going.
Goal scorer turned provider. I love to see it. That's what I want for Sammy Salter. I just want the best for him. Megan, how would you get the best out of Ruben?
Honestly, I'm in agreement with Eddie. Like, I do want to see more of how the Salter Del Campo experiment will turn out in future matches. Because, yeah, like, everybody's going to make a beeline for him just because, like, he's the ultimate goal scorer of our team. So, like, he's going to be the number one target for getting the ball away from him. So,
yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, we've seen Sammy kind of drift out wide a little bit before, not even just this season, but last season. So we definitely know he's a little bit of a threat more outside the box and kind of passing the ball in. And yeah, if we throw a little more aerial presence into the box and we kind of worry defenders about the header, then we can allow Ruben to slip in and get the touch on behind. Bryce, we'll go to you next. How would you, if you were Cargo, how would you change the tactics and get the best out of Ruben Del Campo?
Did you just say you want Ruben to touch you on the behind?
I didn't say that, but okay. Also not saying it.
I think what I liked a lot in the last game was how Sammy played in not the striker position. So he was able to make some great passes through the box. He was on that wing and made an excellent play on our last goal. So maybe that's where Sammy needs to be. And maybe Sammy's the one to make Ruben look even better than he's been looking. So I think I do like both of them up top. And I think I want to see more of that. I don't think Sammy on his own as a top striker was doing anything for us. And at the same time, I don't think that's when Ruben is most effective. So I think there's going to be some kind of partnership between them that's going to make them both play even better.
For sure, whether that's starting Sammy or Antenora out wide, because definitely last weekend, you know, John talked about the chances that we could have conceded, but there's also a lot of chances that we could have scored. And, you know, Antenora was providing a lot going forward last week. And he also had a couple of nice chances in that Ruben Del Campo could have got on the end of the rebounds of. But, you know, it's always a tough game kind of choosing and experimenting with tactics in a game where Pacific are kind of familiar with us at this point, and they might not have the most intentions of getting out the win, but they want to frustrate us for sure. So getting Ruben back into that goal scoring form that we saw earlier in the year, where he scored in, I think it was 5 straight games, and yeah, he's up to 6 for the year. He's second in the Golden Boot race right now. So I think that there's definitely a lot more to come from him, and yeah, the defenses are kind of realizing that. So kind of maybe experimenting with something new to draw the attention away from him is a way to keep him going. But I guess that kind of is a good way to segue into our next spot, which is another dead horse, because I am beating on them a lot tonight. But there's no team to remind us that we need under 21 minutes like Pacific. You know, PFC have just last week already reached the 2,000 minute threshold. But, you know, despite this, I'm sure that they're going to continue to trust their young core. as a lot of the players that they've gotten to those minutes so far have looked like really capable CPL players, you know. Gazdov, of course, in net, Lajeunesse, and there's definitely a lot of quality in their under 21 players. So with that being said, we've had Gabby Antonoro, as everyone has mentioned, you know, we all want to see him start, but he's carried the brunt of the load for us. And, you know, he's starting every game is great for us, of course, but we definitely need a little bit more. And I think a lot of people have mentioned it so many times in the season on the hot stove this year that our back line is maybe not as solid as we thought it was. You know, obviously Luke Singh's own goal last week was pretty unfortunate, maybe not entirely his fault. And then the Lieberman Torres, obviously, you can't blame any of us except for, or any of the defenders except for Torres. So yeah, and even the corner on Achinotti Johnson's goal, you know, there's definitely a little bit more defending that we can be doing this year. So with that being said, I think that we need to rotate a little bit more in the back line, especially this week. And, you know, Dedic, after last week's goal and the performance he's had this entire season, I think he's just undroppable. So I think that the clear candidate is obviously Tier, but maybe moving Danny Morer up to one of the winger positions, and then even moving Twardek up. You know, we've talked a lot about his attacking capabilities, but obviously defense is the thing that we're talking about right now. And there's definitely a lot of questions about who can play in our fullback and our center back spot. But I guess I'll start with you, John. This is the question. Should Tier Walker start on Sunday?
It's tough. You know, Antonio's carrying our U21s. That's no surprise. That's no, you know, big shock to anybody. That's typically the way it's been for most teams, is there's kind of the one person shouldering most of the weight and then everyone else supporting that. Teams above us in minutes have players like Noah Abatne, who has 922 of 1,400 minutes for York. Kwesi Poku with 716 out of 891. You've got Lucas Diaz, who is no longer on loan with Cavalry, with 501 minutes, really leading their minute total. So, you know, it's not uncommon, and is in fact quite common, that there is one player doing a lot of the heavy lifting. For Pacific, it's Lajeunesse. It's not even Gazdov, who, you know, would be the go-to, really, as a U21 keeper. But he's been injured and he's been out. So I think having Antonoro be our number one provider is definitely within reason and makes sense. The challenge is we need to build up some other minutes elsewhere, and that's where I think Tier Walker needs to play. Does he need to start? I'm not sure. But he does need to play. One thing that is very different is match day scenario versus training. And having Tier build chemistry, actually get minutes, get game time, I think is a bigger priority for me, to have him adjust well, pair well with Dedic, and really move forward. That way he's a little more prepared as we ask more of him later in the season, because I think there will come a point where we kind of need to play Tier Walker at center back. So giving him at least some minutes this week, as a week where a number of factors are in our favor, you know, Pacific is traveling, they have a big game on Wednesday, there's a couple of elements, you know, going for us. So making sure that Tier gets those opportunities is very important. If that's a start, I'm not sure, but I think he does need some minutes.
For sure. And, you know, obviously starting minutes are different from coming off the bench, but, you know, last year we saw kind of Tier Walker kind of get those minutes in a game against Pacific, and he did look quite decent. So I see a hand up. Bryce, we'll go to you first. What do you think about Tier Walker starting on Sunday?
I think the worry we have about Tier is that he's going to come in there and not be quite ready for the moment. But we've seen him play well before, and I get the same feeling every week when we see Luke Singh start. You know, Luke Singh has at least one or two flubs every game. I'd much rather have Tier in there, maybe make the same mistakes, but give me 45 minutes of U21 minutes at this point. Because even if Antonoro is playing a full 90 for the rest of the year, we don't have the minutes. So unless there's already some U21 loan in the pipeline that's going to come and start playing meaningful minutes for this club, one of those other guys has to step up. And I'm pretty sure that Tier is closer than Zachary is to playing minutes for this team. So Antonero's got to stay healthy. Tier's got to start putting in for more minutes. So I don't know if he needs to start, if that's what we're talking about. But if Luke Singh has a flub 20 minutes into the game, then I'd like to see Tier Walker come in for the next 70.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of season seat members and people who just follow Atletico Ottawa in general on social media saw a lot of Tier Walker this summer when he was announced he was re-signing with the club. So I would definitely like to see him more. You know, he's an Ottawa lad. He's got good chemistry with the team. And yeah, Luke Singh is not infallible. He does make mistakes, so it might be a good time to rotate. But yeah, starting is, I think he should start. And I think this is a good game to get his minutes. You know, we've looked at kind of the other, someone mentioned Lajeunesse earlier. Lajeunesse has done really well this year. And if we can get a center back with that same kind of quality and those same kind of Canadian under 21 profiles, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want, honestly. Eddie, should we start Tier?
The way I see it, we have Pacific on Sunday and then Vancouver on a short week on Friday. So Vancouver is second place right now. You probably want your strongest lineup on the road. I think it is a game that potentially you start. If you have some tired legs and you want to get some rotations, yeah, throw Tier in against Pacific. But it's one of those things where you got to make sure that he's protected, because like Bryson and other people are saying, he's not getting a lot of minutes, so he might not be game ready. So you got to make sure he's paired with someone like Didich. I don't want to see a Singh and Tier combo. Pair him with someone good, protect him, and yeah, let's get those U21 minutes up.
And, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how Tier Walker does have that kind of lack of professional game time. But at the same time, Cargo just seems to kind of have that trust in Lieberman Torres, who probably has a similar amount of minutes professionally played as Tier Walker. Obviously, they're both quite new to the team, but it seems Lieberman Torres is getting that kind of nudge ahead of him. But Megan, I see your hand up. Should Tier start?
Yeah, I think a Tier should definitely start, because Gabby Antonoro has had a heck of a lot of minutes already this season. And the reason why I'm bringing this up myself is because we all remember what happened to Zachary Bauhu in the 2022 season, where he was just like, Cargo was just absolutely playing him to death, because for most of the season, that was the only way that we could get any under 21 minutes whatsoever. And it kind of inhibited his development as a player as a result. So I don't want that to happen to Gabby Antonoro either. What I'm wondering too is, what's the deal with Luca Piccioli right now, and why hasn't he played any minutes yet? Like, there's got to be a way that we can fit him somehow. Like, if not the match against Pacific on Sunday, then sometime this season.
I agree with that shout. I would like to see Luca Piccioli play, but as much as I would like that, I don't think it's very realistic. I think he's probably a little bit of ways, having not even appeared in a match day squad yet this year. So, I mean, as great as he is, he's also not going to provide those under 21 minutes. But yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, we signed him from the draft. The draft is always quite hit or miss, but he's an Ottawa lad. He's got local connections and definitely some Carlton Raven connections on the team. So maybe for chemistry, it's definitely a big thing. But I think that's kind of all that. Oh, John, I see your hand up. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I was just going to note, as much as I'm hopeful for Luca Piccioli to get some minutes, at the end of the day, I think L1 Quebec voting down the CPL's ability to move a player down and send them to a lower level has really hampered us in, you know, how we have been able to use Piccioli. I think he definitely has some talent that I'd love to see get put on display. But at the end of the day, he's not going to get us U21 minutes while he's Canadian. And so that counts to the minimum of Canadians you need on the field. Start, it's likely just not going to be in the cards. And unfortunately, that's just the way that a lot of draft pick goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough. I think everyone in Ottawa likes Luca Piccioli and would love to see him on the pitch. I mean, I know a lot of us in CCSD went to go out to the Carlton Ravens playoffs last year, and we saw him score a great free kick. So we definitely know he has some talent in him, but there's definitely a long way to go. And there's a stacked midfield ahead of him. You know, there's a lot of players ahead of him. And even if we bring in someone like Sean Rea, that's just another name ahead of him. So there's definitely a long way to go. But I'll say this before we go into our announcement break. I think Tier Walker should start on Sunday.
You know, it's hard not to agree in some ways because, boy, that kid's fun to watch. But let's get into a couple of announcements. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials at Capital City SG. We have tons of information that is shared on all of those platforms, as well as great videos, clips, and other content. So be sure to follow us to keep up with all of the ATO and CCSG content.
Become a CCSG member today if you are not already, where $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, which includes first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and a lot of insider information. If you're a student, you get a $5 discount, which brings your total for the year down to $15. And if you are already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest in CCSG news.
And finally, join us at the Glebe Central Pub for all our pregame, pints, chats, and watch parties. We'll be there Friday night for Canada's quarterfinals match against Venezuela, and Sunday to get together to preview a little more of the match and break it down afterwards. The GCP is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and we hope to see you there. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street. Now let's get back to the show.
Thank you. And excuse my pun. PFC made waves last week when they announced the new signing of Marco Dominguez, the Canadian-born Guatemalan national, who is eligible to play for PFC after the July 5th transfer window opens up, which is right before our game against them on Sunday. So this is an interesting signing because obviously he's just played against Messi in the Copa America, but there's definitely a lot, or might have been an international friendly before, excuse my language, but Pacific obviously have a lot of depth already in the midfield, and especially the defensive side of it. So while I get that this is a good signing, I think that it's a pretty questionable one. You know, their defensive unit has been kind of negatively impacted already by a season-ending injury to Ali Ndong, which is undoubtedly a big loss because in his games that he played so far this season, he looked very, very top CPL level, and a good replacement for Didich, who they lost last year to us. So that kind of brings us to the other side of the pitch, though. PFC have struggled in attack, you know, this year. They've got Rion Moore and they've got Dario Zanata, but those two haven't really been combining for a lot of goals this year. And bar a couple penalties, you know, PFC haven't looked a very creative side or a very threatening side. In terms of anyone who can trouble our defenders. So even with Tier Walker starting, I think that we have a lot to be hopeful for in terms of conceding goals this week. But I'm sure that there's still a very capable couple threats on their team. So I'll start with you, John. I wish there were a couple PFC fans here to maybe Jeff, unlike last time, but we'll start with you. Who on their side is going to be key for them going forward?
You know, you mentioned Rion Moore, and I think he is kind of the offensive engine of this side, which isn't saying a whole lot, frankly. You know, it's been a tough year for Pacific on the offensive side of the ball. They do have the worst offense in terms of goals scored in the league at 11. Even Valor have 12. So it's definitely one of their biggest challenges is finding options up front. And while Rion Moore hasn't produced at the level I think that they've wanted him to, I still think he's probably their best offensive piece really threatening us because of the inconsistency of players like Amon Salouf. It's possible Salouf comes in and plays an absolutely phenomenal game and pantses us and, you know, trips us up. But It's a very inconsistent player. You know, Sean Young and Josh Hurd have been giving, you know, decent service, as well as Kunle Dadaluk on the wings. But I think part of the challenges they've been having is not having that finisher in the middle. They can finish those crosses. They can make those kinds of plays on the volley. And that's really the big concern is how do we shut down the service and make sure that we're not allowing them to go on great runs. Defensively, of course, Thomas Mayer-Jaguer and Eric Lajeunesse are both key pieces to ensuring that they can actually maintain their status as the top defense in the league. They are the top defense in the league right now, according to goals against. They only have 10. Calvary's in second with 11, and we are in third with 12. So, you know, having those couple of players that can really make an impact on defense is going to be very important. And I think another very big element is the keeper question. Gazdov and Melvin have been out for a little while now, so they've been relying on Daniel Zadravec and Callum Weir, who are both emergency signings, to, you know, man the posts, as it were. And Zadravec has had a pretty decent showing thus far. There haven't been too many major gaffes, but I think that that is partially the small sample working in his favor. So I think that's something that can be exploited and frankly should be, given the otherwise we're talking about the fact that Pacific has three starting keepers, essentially, which would be very impressive. But I think that Zadravec does have an Achilles heel. It's just about having it exposed a little more. I think this is a great game to do it.
I think a lot of Ottawa fans have nightmares about the name Amen Salouf, especially after his performances at TD last year. But that is a good point to raise. You know, Gazdov has looked really good in the season so far, but it will be a question of if he is fit for the game on Sunday. So, like you mentioned, Zadravec he's looked all right in the small games that he's played, but he hasn't looked as good as Gazdov. So I think if we can continue to test him as we did Gazdov, we'll likely stay solid and be a big boost for our offense. But Bryce, I love asking you this question because I always love your answers. Is there anyone on the Pacific side that we should be looking out for them going forward?
You know, I don't care about anybody on any other team, but I do know the Lajeunesse family. I do know that they'll be there at the game. I think that might give him some extra incentive to play well in this city. So he's the only one I might even have a smidge of concern for this week. But again, it's up to our boys to control this thing.
You know, I hope he finishes UBC and he comes home to Ottawa and he comes home to play for the real best team in the CPL. But Eddie, we'll go to you next. Is there anyone you're worried about on Pacific?
Hell no. I don't give a damn about Pacific. I don't give a damn about any other CPL team. We've proven it time after time again. If we need to outscore teams, we can do it. 4-3 win over Forge. If that needs to happen again, it'll happen because we can score as many goals as we want when we put our mind to it. So do I care about any Pacific player? No. We're going to win this.
I love it. I love it. Megan, we'll go to you last. Is there anyone you're worried about on this Pacific roster?
I mean, God, I would say, well, defense, definitely Thomas Mayer-Jaguer. I think he's one of the best defenders in the league, let alone on that team. And like, I remember him from the Fury days, and he'll just absolutely go balls to the wall to actually defend his team. So
I know there's a lot of PFC fans very vocal about how good of a replacement, well, not so much replacement, but how well TMG has stepped up in the absence of Didich this year. But as we get to the end of this segment, I've done this in previous games against Calgary. I'm just going to single out an opposition player who I am the least bit worried about, and that is Dario Zanata. He has not looked good at all this year, and I hope he continues to look bad on the weekend. And I'm not even worried about a curse, because I'll say it every week, he doesn't look good. Anyways, while I do want him to succeed, just not in this game, it is tough. He has not looked great, but on our attack, we do have a couple questions, because last week we saw another injury to one of our wingers as star attacker Balu Tabla picked up an injury and was replaced early on in the match against Forge. But, you know, everything has a silver lining. Ollie came on in place of him and provided generally solid play. You know, he provided the assist for Didich's goal, and he just looked usual Ollie Bassett, honestly, which is a very top-caliber CPL player. So, you know, going forward, Balu Tabla has definitely got some competition in terms of who he has to play against on the wing. And we've talked about him a lot tonight, Gabby Antonoro. continuing to look his usual energetic self and providing assists. And we also mentioned him again, Danny Morer. And, you know, with some of the injuries and performances on the wing this year, a lot of Ottawa fans early in the season were kind of questioning our depth and our attacking depth. But I think a lot of those qualms have been kind of calmed by the recent performances in the last weeks. But the important question, and it's been asked a lot this year, is should we give Balotelli some time on the bench to rest and refocus? You know, it's obviously a different team and a different league to the one Tala excelled in 2022. So I guess, John, my question is for you. Should we see Tala sit on the bench in the next couple of matches in order to ensure our most informed team starts? Because we've definitely seen a lot of good attacking performances, and maybe not a lot of them have been from Tala.
I do hope we see Tala on the bench, mainly because that suggests that his injury isn't very major. I think that while he has not been performing to the level that we expect of him, that is because we have high expectations of him. And I think he can still reach those levels, but he hasn't been lately. So being on the bench isn't the worst news, especially if it gives him a little bit more time just to nurse maybe an injury, come back a little more fit and ready to go. You know, I think that could be a very good thing. Depth-wise, you know, the left wing, Kevin DeSantos, would be occupying that spot in this case. But unfortunately, he's out injured too. So I think it's going to be a matter of moving Antinoro out to that left side and Morer being on the right to make sure that we're still filling those gaps. But it does put us kind of light on substitutions on the wings or up front for this match, which may, going back to our U21 discussion, mean that Zach Roy is bumped up the depth chart and might have an opportunity here. So I'm hopeful that it's not a long-term injury, and I think being on the bench this game is a great sign that it isn't more long-term. But if it's just a small injury that he picked up that took him out for the game and he's feeling up for it, unless there is something we don't know about that is mentally going on and that coach is aware of that needs correction, I don't think there's a good reason to strictly bench him if there isn't a better option. And I think he's still a very solid choice for that spot. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. And I understand kind of both sides of saying, yeah, the attitude we've seen on the field and his inability to perform has earned him a spot on that bench. And on the other hand, the injury. So I'm leaning towards, I hope we do see him on the bench because it means the injury isn't too bad. And it means that he'll be rearing a little bit and hopefully watching on, itching to play.
Yeah, you know, obviously Kevin Dos Santos with the long injury is tough to see, but it's nice to see him off crutches finally. You know, I personally am all for dropping a star in terms of injury or form, because I think in this team, obviously, we kind of had that expectation going into the team or into the season this year that we have an expected starting 11. You know, there's the best players that we signed are going to start every week. And I think that if a player like Zach Roy can come into the team, or Danny Morer, or even Sam Salter on the wing can make a case for a starting position and even a little bit of competition, I think that's only going to incentivize players like Tabla. You know, I don't think he wants to sit on the bench. I don't think he wants to see other players start in front of him. I think he wants to be on the pitch. You know, I've slated him a lot this year, but he does also still create chances that nobody else will. And I've said that every time. You know, it's he's such a confidence player for the rest of the team, I think. And, you know, there might be a lot of issues going on behind the scenes that we don't know a lot about. You know, there's certain things about the team that we're not privy to know, you know, especially against the game against Calgary. I know a lot of fans were kind of concerned that he didn't celebrate Zapater's goal and just kind of looked disinterested or maybe hurt. But, you know, it's a long season, and obviously we know Tabla, we know his quality, but yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion to be having right now, especially, you know, we don't want his injury to be long-term, but it did look like he was walking up off the pitch on the long way after, but, you know, we'll see. I guess, Eddie, would you like to see Tabla sit?
Man, I've been calling for Tabla to be sat for half the season, and he clearly isn't healthy. Clearly, something was wrong all season long, and he got injured. And I'm hoping it's nothing serious, but he definitely should use this time to rest up. And hopefully when he comes back, it's the Ballou of old that we know. But definitely do not rush this man back. Use this as an opportunity to sit him on the bench until he's actually healthy.
For sure. We definitely don't want to rush players back and from injury and risk another injury. It's obviously brutal how KDS got injured, and we haven't really seen a lot of him this year. And it's something that a lot of fans are expecting to see. And, the wing depth was obviously something talked about a lot earlier in the season, but we do have a lot of players who are capable of going forward. And, even our fullbacks, let's say when Tiso is healthy again, we could even push Mateo up again. And Twardek is obviously capable of playing on the right wing. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities. And I think a little healthy competition within the squad is going to be the best for ensuring that the players want to start, But I see we have a new speaker. Kyle, do you think Tabla should be sitting on the bench next week, provided he's healthy?
I think so. If he's injured, give him some time to rest. And, looking at potential for a backup keeper, strong defense, this might be the time for some Manny piss missiles. So fire him in from the outside, see what we can get from there. Give him some time to rest.
I love it. And, of course, before the hot stove, I was watching both games against Forge this season, and that Manny piss missile from the first game was quite something, and I'd love to see it again. Bryce, obviously provided Tabla is healthy and ready to start, but do you think he should be starting?
We haven't seen the flashes of Ballou from a few years ago this season, even when he was at his best, which I don't know if he's ever been at his best this season. So I know that we've been saying that he needed a rest. Yes, if he's injured, he definitely needs a rest. But even if he's fully rested, I think there's some other players that may have more jump and more upside for our team right now. So maybe Ballou, when healthy, becomes that possible halftime substitution. I don't know if he's giving us anything at the start of the games. I don't know. I've mentioned it on quite a few calls that I think the secret to us playing really well is getting that jump out of the start. We're much better this year when we're not sitting back to start a game, when we're on the front foot. I don't know if Ballou gets us there. I know Gabby gets us there. I know that, Moreira would get us there if he had the start. So I'm not sure right now if Ballou is our best 11, even when he's healthy. So take the time he needs, whether it's all physical, whether there's some mental stuff going on as well. But I hope that he gets back to being brilliant. But so far, we've been wanting this year.
And I think it's time we move on from players who haven't scored to players who have scored, because nothing says Atletico Ottawa like a little bit of late game drama. Lieberman Torres from zero to hero, and what a redemption arc, and in the same game. Forge definitely thought that they had something. Forge fans definitely thought that they had something when he whiffed a back pass and put Kwasi Poko in for their third goal of the night. But man, what a beautiful header, what a beautiful run into the box in the dying minutes, and he put those beautiful Ecuadorian chompers on display as he ran, as the whole team and ball boys included ran over to celebrate with him. I think it was a pretty beautiful moment. And those in the dub know that he led the microphone shalala after, which is pretty impressive for him. But what a player, and what an interesting game. Obviously, we've kind of slated him a bit on the hot stove this year, because definitely coming off the bench, he hasn't been the most cohesive player in our lineup. But it's definitely something that comes with games and experience, because obviously he doesn't really have a lot of first team experience in playing professional football. It's tough. It's hero to zero. I don't really know how to feel about his performance, but I know how I feel about him. Nothing is going to make me hate Lieberman Torres, but I guess we'll start with you, John. What do you think about that complete Lieberman Torres performance on Friday?
It really did have all of the emotions. And it's when people talk about sport as entertainment, I think that is kind of the peak of what it can be, of having a player completely biff it, completely screw the pooch, and have that second opportunity. I mean, if it were a Disney Channel movie, there'd have been a huddle and the clock would be counting down, and it, you know, it would be a very long last few seconds. But instead, it's quick, bam, bang, bang, 7 minutes, and he goes from zero to hero just like that. You know, Torres has been very hit or miss, in my opinion. His first performance as center back, kind of as an emergency sub, was not ideal. It was not good. and in fact, that also led to a goal for the opposition. But I think his biggest challenge right now is more in chemistry and communication rather than skill that needs improvement. As he gets more integrated in the team, as people understand how to communicate with him better, as he's a Spanish-only speaker, and as he kind of reads the team more, I think those gaffes and those issues that we saw in his first game, and again now, I believe this was his third, will start to kind of fade away. But with that kind of goal, that's exactly what we as fans needed. It's exactly what he as a player needed, all in response to that screw up. Usually, you know, that kind of thing happens and then you're stuck waiting a week, 2 weeks before you go out and you're able to really, you know, prove yourself again, and feel like you've redeemed yourself and go through that arc, where you're not trusted for a little while and things like that. So being able to kind of wrap it up in that one evening, it's something really magical. And of course, tons of credit to Morer for that cross, picture perfect stuff. You know, and that has helped us have shorter memories when it comes to the gaff. If we had drawn that game 3-3, I think that we'd be talking a lot more about that screw up as kind of a symptom of maybe a greater disease. But I think the fact that the guys put their heads down, got to work, and got it done, does speak to that resilience I was talking a little bit about. So I'm still going to be a little nervous when he hits the pitch, for the next little bit. You know, the second game he did quite well and I was kind of impressed. I was like, okay, you know, I've seen what he can do. And I've also seen what he can do, to us defensively. So I think, I am still cautiously optimistic about Torres and his place in this team. And I'll be curious to see if he does get some minutes in this specific game, because I think there is an opportunity there to continue that growth in communication and team dynamic.
Yeah, I think communication is definitely a big thing, you know, but it helps that he's in a team like Atletico Auto with a lot of Spanish and English speakers. He's definitely going to be acclimatized quickly, and hopefully he'll be learning a couple more of the phrases the boys might be calling out, and maybe playing the balls better. But yeah, there's definitely something to be said as well for him not giving up on the play. You know, obviously a lot of players would put their head down in that moment, kind of maybe just want to play out for the draw. But no, he didn't give up. And we saw that from his run into the box. The guy was standing maybe 30 yards out when Morer got the ball. And I don't even think Morer was looking at him. I think he was looking more at the central, maybe Sammy Salter drifting in, you know. And I think that is such a beautiful moment. And obviously if we got the draw, we'd be talking more about it. But man, the quit, he doesn't quit. I love it. You know, that's the kind of drive that we need from a player. Eddie, lots to say about Torres, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of expected this from when he got signed. I know a lot of people went on Twitter and a couple of fans from his team they came from weren't too happy with his performance. They said good luck to us. He doesn't really live up to the hype. And I kind of see where they're coming from now. He's very prone to mistakes. His head's in the cloud a lot. He's never going to get to a high level because of those mistakes, unless he somehow cleans them up. But to give up such a horrible mistake and then to run down the field and grab that winner really shows a lot about his mental strength still and his competitiveness. And that's all we need. And to come off as a bench, when he comes off the bench, honestly, I think we're confident. I'm confident that he can perform and he can do what he needs to do. And hopefully limit those mistakes. And like you said, once he starts communicating more and people start talking to him more, hopefully those mistakes start to lessen and we get the full potential of Lourdes Torres coming off the bench.
And, you know, I think that there's a lot to be said about the people around him. And obviously we have Zapata there as captain and kind of giving him those commands, obviously. And he plays in not a similar position, but we've seen him in the midfield. We've seen him in the defense now. So obviously if he can get integrated with the Spanish speakers as quick as possible, they'll definitely help him out and adjust to the team and the way Ottawa plays. But it also helps we wouldn't have brought him in if we didn't have Cargo as coach, because obviously that communication is so huge. But yeah, I mean, he'll never be a world beater, but he'll probably be a pretty good player for Atletico Ottawa. That's all I'm going to say. Bryce, what did you think of Torres' performance?
I wish this league was a little bit bigger so that we could have, you know, cameras, player-specific cameras that follow them around the pitch so that we could have watched all of that 2 minutes from Lieberman Torres having that crazy giveaway until he had the winner at the end. Because I would love to be able to put some kind of just inner monologue audio over a clip of that, just having him fret over what he's just done all the way till making that run and putting the goal in, because that's exactly what went through my head the whole time. You're just immensely upset and just crazy that this is happening again. How can this happen again? And then something else happened again for like the second time. And it was just great. So I've also shared, I think, on the Discord, but I had a moment with him, with Lieberman, a couple of weeks ago where he was holding a door for us. And I said something to him. It wasn't complex, but he only said, no English to me. And I rambled back, no habla español. And he looked at me very excitedly and said, español? And I said, no habla español. And he was very disappointed. But I did wish him a good game before this last one. And he came through with it. And I'm hoping that gives him a little more confidence. You know, I still don't think he totally knows what this league is about. And we see the other guys come in here from other leagues and have some trouble. But, you know, Lieberman had enough trouble getting here in the first place. So maybe he'll find it easier to settle in or something. But I'm excited to see him play some more minutes, too.
I think that first goal is definitely a good way to get him off the mark and in terms of feeling confident about his time at Atletico Ottawa. But I don't mean to rush everyone here, and I thank everyone for speaking. But we are coming towards the end of the show, so I'll give everyone one more chance before we wrap it up. And this time we're doing some score predictions for the match on Sunday and which players you're most excited to see on the pitch. So, John, let's start with you. Score prediction and who you're most excited to see.
I think it's going to be 2-1. I think we're going to go down again in the first half, but it's going to switch the lads on and get them rolling through the second. And I'm most looking forward to seeing Moreira get a start, and all else failing, Desbriennes scoring a goal. So Mateo Desbriennes and Danny Moreira, looking forward to you this weekend.
Love it. A win is always appreciated. Kyle, who are you most excited to see? What's your score prediction?
I'm going to go 2-0, 1 from Manny, and a hero-to-hero move from Torres.
I love it. Thank you for joining in tonight. Megan, what's your score prediction? Who are you most excited to see?
Well, if you've seen the Euros pool, my prediction, the prediction pool, I'm doing shit right now, but John stole my prediction too, which is 2-1. I'm really, really hoping Mateo Desbriennes actually scores his first goal, and inshallah, God willing, I hope it's in front of the Dove. I want to see Moreira start too. I just want to see Moreira just do his magic, period, especially with his crosses. The other player I'm excited to see is Zapater, because I want to see if he actually scores 6 header, which if he does, I'm just going to say it out loud. Like, there's going to be some kind of witchcraft going on, because to have all of his goals be headers for a guy who doesn't even score goals in practice is just unreal.
I love it. And for all of Zappa's headers, I still think Torres has him beat from that last goal. Bryce, let's go to you last. What are your score predictions?
I also was going to go with 2-1, but instead I'm going to go with 1-0. We're going to get a clean sheet at home. I'm not sure who's going to score that goal, but the player I'm most looking forward to seeing is Didic, and I want to see if he continues his new evil villain persona that he unleashed after that goal last week. You know, I wonder if there's still rage inside of him that he's going to share with all those opposing Pacific players. So that's who I'm going to be watching.
I love it. I love it. But you also stole my score because I'm also going 1-0, but I do know the goal score. And it's going to be a repeat of the last time we played Pacific in the league. Ruben Del Campo scores the 1-0. So I want to thank all of you for joining in and talking with us tonight as we wrap up. Don't forget to follow us on all of our socials at Capital City SG. A lot of news and content is dropping all the time, and especially as we go into this second of... Ooh, wow, it's almost halfway through the league. Yeah, there's a lot more to come this year, and you don't want to miss a beat.
And if you're not yet a member, become one by visiting CapitalCitySupporters.com. $20 for the year, $15 if you're a student, and you'll get access to member-exclusive events, merch, road trips, the Discord, and, of course, you help support shows like this from being made. If you are a member, make sure to regularly check our membership page on our website and our latest announcement channel on the Discord. With June now behind us, our Pride Raiser fundraiser managed to raise $370 for Kindspace, which is a community center here in Ottawa that offers resources, events, social and educational programming, and tons of other cool stuff. Their work celebrates, supports, and prioritizes oppressed sexual orientations, gender identities, and expressions. So if you'd like to add to that number and make a late donation, you still can. Head over to our Pride Raiser page and be sure to fulfill your pledge when you get a chance. You can find the link on all of our socials.
While you are on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for those games that you want to relive or those that you miss, and of course our weekly player ratings so you can see how each player did on the day.
And also on the website, you can now buy your road trip tickets to join us supporting the lads down against York United on July 26th and Forge FC on August 10th. Tickets are limited, so be sure to get yours as soon as possible. And all of the details are, again, on the website. Check out the ATO After the Whistle podcast. The best way to spend a Tuesday morning or any other day is by listening to our beloved hosts break down the past week's Atletico Ottawa games. Their latest episode covers that Forge game and came out today, so be sure to check it out and enjoy a little bit more detail on that Forge match.
Don't forget to buy your tickets because those road trips are going to be very, very fun and you don't want to miss out. But as well, this Friday and all the rest of the season, GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks after a day of football action. Join us at 779 Bank Street for drinks before and after all games and for all of Copa America, the Euros and the Olympics. Canada's quarterfinals on Friday against Venezuela. It is a critical one if they're going to keep their chances of going further in the Copa this year alive. So make sure to get there early. It's going to be a packed house. You want to see the TV well. You want to get your beers in early. That's at Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season and Ottawa's Temple of Football.
Also be on the lookout because there is yet another new show coming out. That is ATO Off the Rack, which will be available on our YouTube channel coming out sometime this week. This series is a collaboration with Passé, a vintage clothing store in Little Italy, where we sit down with players to discuss everything football. We're starting off with some of the up-and-coming talents in the Atleti system, so be on the lookout for Ben Ralph's sit-down with Carlton Ravens star Omar Darvish. Also be sure to join Harry to share your thoughts after every home game under the Jumbotron for full time and help us record all of the fan memories and moments and reactions after every home game. All of those episodes will also be available on our YouTube channel.
And that about wraps it up. Thank you everyone for listening and thank you for joining in our conversation to our speakers. We hope to hear from you again next week. John, send us off.
Vamos Atleti and we'll see you this weekend.